In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this year, Doug and I and many of our family members and our friends really cut back on what we usually spend and what we usually do for Christmas. And it wasn't just being careful with our money as the prices of everything has been rising around us. It was just a feeling that we really just didn't have it in us this year for the grand celebration and the extravagant gestures of gift giving. And we found out very quickly that we were not alone. Everyone with whom we usually celebrate and exchange gifts with all seemed to feel the same. So when I would say, what do you think about not giving gifts this year? I was met with a resounding, oh yes, please, let's not. As well as a look of relief spreading across the face of the other. Everyone I know wanted to keep Christmas as simple as possible this year. But that doesn't mean that Christmas hasn't been and isn't wonderful this year. We might find a reason for this in our gospel reading for tonight. In our story from the Gospel of Luke, the story that we hear every year on Christmas Eve, we're first given information that sets up what's about to take place. We hear about how there was a decree from the emperor that there was to be a census. A decree from the most important person in the center of the known universe from where this story takes place. A decree that would then be enforced by the governor, another very important person. These two were the bigwigs of the day, the movers and the shakers, the ones whose wills were to be obeyed or else. And the or else was dire. They were so important that Luke takes time to mention them by name, Augustus and Quirinius. But why are they the first names mentioned in a story about Jesus? I think it's for two reasons. One, because Luke wants to set the story in a particular place and time. In history. He wants to give it context. This all happened when? The second reason, I think, is that this story has global significance, right? And what better way to show that than to introduce what in Luke's audience, at the time this was written, their world were global characters. So even though this event takes place in a particular corner of the world at a very specific time, it is much, much larger than that. And as we will soon see, much larger than these two powerful men. And then very quickly in this story, interesting things happen. This huge thing that's about to take place doesn't happen to either of these powerful men. They are mere character actors in this story because the big players, the really big players in God's story are the little people. A young couple, absolute nobodies in every possible way. Two people obeying the will of the emperor like everybody else, whether they wanted to or not. And yet, it is through these two people that God will come into the world in a new and radical way. It is through this seemingly small and powerless couple, not the emperor and his empire, not his governor, that God will save the world. It was a shocking thing. A shocking thing that continues to echo through the ages, and it set a pattern for the way that God would continue to act in the world. I bet none of us here know much, if anything, about Augustus and Quirinius. There are no holidays that I know of celebrating these two people. But tonight, over 3 billion people will celebrate the birth of the child born, little old Mary and Joseph. This Christmas season may not be filled with the grand gestures of past years for some of us, but God certainly has broken in and acted in the world through countless, countless small, easily overlooked gestures of love and grace. Just like on that very first Christmas. These are just a few of those ways that I have seen, read about, and heard of over the last few weeks. In the midst of the tragedy of losing 2 teenage boys in a horrific car accident, the people of Colchester decided to make sure that those 2 lives were going to be remembered, that those lives had meaning. And they set a weekend aside in that town to perform random acts of kindness. People were asked to post their acts on the town's Facebook page as a way to encourage other people to see what people were doing and to keep this going so that these lives would have meaning well into the future. A person made and donated an Afghan for a dementia patient. People made cookies to give out randomly to neighbors. Multiple people made donations to local food banks. Someone donated to a fundraiser for a dog that needed surgery. Someone donated to the library. Multiple people paid for people behind them in line at Dunkin' Donuts. Donations were made to a foundation in the memory of one of the boys. A Christmas wish gift was purchased. A quilt was donated for a church raffle. A food gift card was given to a person who's homeless. Multiple animal shelter donations were made. Donations were made to fuel banks. One family left 100% tip in a restaurant with a note to the server that just said, "Pay forward." Tim Cotton is a detective lieutenant in Bangor, Maine. And he's an author and a blogger who Doug and I like to read. He shared how one day a couple weeks ago when they had a lot of snow up there in Maine, when the snow plow went by and he was cleaning up not just the snow but the trash that gets pushed along in that snow, and he was pulling out cups and cigarette butts, he also found an envelope that was wet and the address was all smudged off, but the envelope itself wasn't too damaged, and he was having a particularly bad week. One of those weeks where he was feeling really down, questioning his life choices, all of those things when we get to that point in our life where we're just feeling depressed. And so he decided to open the envelope that inside, multicolored letters on a bright yellow card yelled out, "Amazing people can do amazing things." And inside the card, in big black letters, was, "Keep on being the one and only you." And then someone had written at the bottom, "See what a card can do?" And it certainly changed his day, his outlook, his week. It lifted him up, and he decided that he was going to keep the card in his truck and then randomly drop it off and see who else could be inspired, whose day could be lifted, whose outlook could be changed when they opened it. Thiago is an 11-year-old who lives in the city of Antonio Prado in Rio Grande do Sul. And he's always loved animals, and he wished that he could do something for the estimated 30 million abandoned dogs and cats in Brazil. And since he couldn't bring them all home, he decided to try to make their lives better, one bath at a time. Most kids spend their weekends playing with friends or watching TV, but for Thiago, Saturdays are for helping these street dogs. He came up with the idea of bathing street dogs, he said, so that they could stay clean and fragrant and people would look at them differently on the streets. After the dogs take their baths, they each get a photo shoot with Thiago to increase their chance of adoption. His father edits the pictures and posts them on social media to highlight each one. To date, over 48 baths have been given, and he's received a lot of support from his community, donations of shampoo and other bath products. He says the project has really borne fruit because most of the furry ones are adopted. He says it gives him a lot of motivation to continue, and he hopes that his efforts will change the way people think of homeless animals. He says that they just often pass them by and are afraid to adopt them, usually. Thiago says it's the best thing in the world, but let them adopt a dog knowing that it's not a thing or a toy. He is a being who will live a long time and who just wants to give us love. A group in Tennessee called Tiffany in the Borough collects donations from their community all year long, and once a month goes out to a different restaurant and gives a server a huge tip. Since December is their biggest month for collecting donations, they tend to go out and try to do it every day during the 12 days of Christmas. One server, who was so surprised with her extravagant tip, burst into tears, sharing that she lived in a shelter for people who are homeless, and that night, before this morning, had just gone to a meeting about getting an apartment and was told she'd need $600 to move into the apartment. The tip they gave her was $300, and she was overwhelmed that she now was halfway to her goal of home. And that's not to forget, right here in our own community, all the meals that are cooked and brought to parishioners, cards sent to remind people they're not forgotten, a ride given to a neighbor or a fellow parishioner, the amazing words that we were blessed with through Advent, through our lay preachers each week, the countless other offerings that happen every single day. Each of these are easily overlooked gestures of love and grace. Gestures that break through into our lives and make a difference and help change the world little by little and bring the love of God. Signs that God is still at work in the world in the many, many, many small gestures we offer. Signs that this year, as every year, Christmas is indeed wonderful.